Okay.
That works.
Yes. Hello, everybody. Hello. Welcome to another episode of Pork Therapy.
Yes. We're getting you on the Pork Therapy couch.
Where communication is
key.
In all relationships.
Yes.
Or the kitchen seat, whatever chair we happen to be near in our mobile studio.
Off the Pork Therapy couch that we were on before, away from the love seat, right?
Yep.
And onto some hard, uncomfortable chairs that are hurting our asses.
But we're in the light because we have a guest host with us.
Guest host with us
today. Hi, Bridget.
Hello.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us today.
Yes, she's actually joining us via Skype, so that's why we're sitting under the light where she can see us as we record this.
Mm-hmm. But you can't see us because it's not a video podcast.
Yeah. Ha-ha. You can't see us.
We could be nude right now, for all you know. Well, actually, Bridget knows whether or not we're nude, but she's not going to say because she's in on the joke.
Well, you just told him it was a joke.
Oh. Well, I guess that doesn't say whether or not we're nude, I mean, right?
Yeah, she could be nude, too.
Okay, this is terrible. She is nude, and so are we.
That's right. Everybody's nude.
What was that, Bridget?
Yeah, close enough to being nude. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so today we are going to talk today. I always say today. This episode, we're going to be talking about...
We don't know when they're listening to it. They could be listening to it in the middle of the night.
Yeah,
we know.
Tonight... So this episode, we're going to be talking about sexy voices.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight, we're going to be talking about...
We have two ladies on the show with very sexy voices.
That's right.
Well, actually, I can't say my own voice is sexy.
You just did say it. Okay, so today we're going to be talking about...
I'm not fooling myself or anything.
No, not at all.
What are we talking about today?
Today, we're going to be talking about...
We're going to be talking about property rights in a poly relationship.
Right. Mm-hmm. In polyamorous relationships, what are property rights and who owns the property and how is it used and everything that we can think of to relate to that.
And I guess just the concept of joint ownership of property in general, right?
Right, because this could affect monogamous relationships. You know, Adam owns a couch and Barbara owns a TV. And when they get married or when they become a committed monogamous relationship, who owns which?
Right. And then if they get divorced, who owns which?
Right. And does it even matter? Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Does it even matter until they split up? Well, it might if, for example, they each had their own bank account and they want to put a joint bank account together.
Yeah, sure. I know people who've done that, like, without getting married. And
Yeah. I would never do a joint bank account.
Yeah, I don't think that would work for me either. I was... You know, I don't think a legal marriage would work for me, but
in my relationship, a joint bank account did actually work, but that was because I paid all the bills and made sure they got paid because I am good at that.
Mm-hmm. So you both put money in, but you were in charge of it?
Yeah. So we both put money into the bank account, and then I made sure that things got paid because that worked for us.
Mm. Well,
communication is, you know, relationships, but...
That's actually a good point, because if you guys talk about it, if the people in the relationship talk about it and agree, let's do it this way, it's going to be at least what you want. It may not work out, but you'll work it out together.
Yeah.
Did that work out for you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, working out that way worked really well for like a long time. In fact, even after my relationship ended, we still kind of continued to have this joint bank account where he was putting money to make sure that I was still paying, making sure his car loan got paid. Mm-hmm. So anyways, in our case, this still kind of worked even after the relationship ended.
Hmm. That's remarkable to me.
Yeah, that is remarkable.
That's a remarkable commitment, a remarkable agreement on both of your parts.
Great communication.
Yeah, wow.
It had to be.
After the relationship. Well, actually, I've just assumed that relationship ended badly.
Well, I mean, I guess the romantic, I don't know the details, but maybe the romantic relationship ended, but the sort of financial day-to-day kind of other aspects of the relationship didn't end, right? Or maybe?
Mm, yeah. Some of them. Yeah.
I don't know. No,
there were definitely some underlying problems, but neither one of us were people who tried to use money against each other, which some people do when a relationship ends.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't that much of an issue with like things like, you know, I let him keep his car, his computer, his, you know, lots of other personal item things. You know, when the house I'm living in sells, you know, he'll get, you know, half of the house.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So it's not even something that, I guess it really wasn't that important for me to fight him for. And there was never any alimony in our case, which there are in many other relationships.
Right.
You know,
so how did you work out the thing about the house?
Well, there were several different options in relation to the house. Mm-hmm. And we picked the option that the, because I technically, because of the minor children involved, I could actually live here until they turned 18. Mm-hmm. And then sold. But I went with the option that the house should be sold and that we should split the costs because it just seemed more fair to me.
Uh-huh. So yeah. Okay. So I guess this, we should explain the background, right? There was a house that you owned together when you were mm-hmm. married, I guess, is what it was.
Yes.
Okay.
So I guess this kind
does of... Does that get back to our original topic?
Well, sure. I mean, that's where I was going. You, in this example, you guys each decided to own this house. Now, I happen to know that some problems arose recently due to this joint ownership, and it's, I'm guessing it's because you didn't foresee this particular type of problem and didn't have any agreement about what to do when it occurred. Is that correct?
No. Yes, that's very correct and very...
So, very to generalize, because we don't want to, you know, spew your private life all over the therapy couch.
Interwebs. Yeah.
I've already said way too many personal things, but anyway, go on.
Like we always like to say, there are no secrets on Pork Therapy. Yeah. So we're exposing ourselves to the listeners.
I'm flashing right now. So to generate...
Oh, hot. Look at that.
Now that was a tangent. Okay, so to generalize, the problem could have been that you... Any problem, but you guys disagreed on how... Or you were ending the relationship, and you needed to decide what to do with the property, and you guys each wanted to do something different with property that you co-owned. Is that correct?
No, I think we both decided it should be sold.
Okay.
The problem arose when, even though he's not living here, he decided that there were certain people that he didn't want on his property.
Okay.
They thought it was our property, and so I tried to say, well, he's in my half of it, because I feel like half of it should be mine.
It is very interesting. Okay, and then to be frank with the Pork Therapy audience, I am this person. I don't own it with her. I'm the person who was not.
I was invited, so
I was invited by her to be on the property that she owns half of and lived solely in. The other owner didn't live there. And I'm just telling you all this because you got to know my bias.
Right, and there might have been some rumors about this on the internets, right?
Right, you may already know about this, but the point is, for this discussion, you got to know that...
If you're out of your freaking mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in this case, after you guys had an agreement, we both own this, I'm going to live here and you're not, and I'm going to sell it, and we'll split the profits. That's what you agreed on. What you didn't foresee was that you would want someone to visit you there, and that was me, and he would not want me there.
Yes, that was...
How could you possibly foresee that?
You can't foresee... Yeah, I'm sorry, what was that?
That was definitely an unforeseen problem.
Right, and you can't foresee everything. If you make great plans, something may come up that you can't foresee. Mm-hmm. So how was it dealt with? What happened? And, of course, be general.
We had a lack of communication. Mike did offer to stay in a hotel and was going to stay in a hotel. I preferred that he stay with me, and I guess I considered, because I was living here and in ownership, well, as in physical,
mm-hmm. like custodial
possession of the property, and he stayed in my room, which I moved upstairs. It wasn't the bedroom that I used to share.
Even though your ex-husband was not living in the house and all his belongings were out of the house,
yes.
There was a room that you two shared, and I did not stay in that room.
No.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. No. Even though I said that slept on the couch if you wanted to.
Well, I didn't really want this podcast to be about you and me and this situation, so let's try... No, I don't have a problem with it.
Okay. Do you want to just stop this one?
No, I don't. There's no stopping here. Pork Therapy doesn't edit.
But it's actually a very good and illustrative situation.
Yes. All I want to do is generalize it.
I'm hearing this story as an outside observer, I mean, I'm somewhat familiar with it because I heard some of the details from Mike, but I was kind of wondering why, you know, you cared so much about this guy who didn't want you on his property when he was never there. He had no way that you were knowing that you were there. And, like, what was he going to do about it? I mean,
well,
and,
okay,
and
you're right.
He wasn't exactly being very friendly to you.
He,
or nice
he was
to you.
Being very threatening and right. very mean. But but you're right. This question can help us generalize it. So
right.
why did I
why
care?
Why was it important to
well,
you?
Well, not only was he a friend in the past, he had unfriended me, but
Facebook or in real life?
Both. In real life is the key here. But not
right.
only was that an issue for me to care what he thought, but in principle, I don't want to violate anyone's property rights ever. So I guess the question here, what was that?
Yeah, I remember that was a big concern.
Yeah. So we could generalize this situation to be, what are the property rights? He does technically own half of the house. You guys agree to it. You guys both put your money up. Whatever agreement you came to, he owns half and you own half, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he moved away, ceased using it, and you guys voluntarily agreed you would stay there and use it and sell it, and you'd both split the profits, right?
Yes.
So in my mind, his ownership at this point, based on his and your voluntary agreement, was no control over the house, no possession, no use, but he would take half the profits when you sold it.
Yes.
Okay, and so in my mind, that means you, who live on the house, who control this property, and, you know, it could be a TV, it could be a car, it could be whatever, to generalize, you who control it and are in possession of it and have voluntarily agreed with the other person that he doesn't, you should be able to let someone borrow it, let someone visit it, whatever.
Yeah, like, do you have to check with him every time you have a guest over? If the mailman comes over to deliver something,
yeah.
Do you have to ask him if it's okay with him first?
Yeah, I'm kind of feeling that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's getting into the realm of the ridiculous. I think, see, to me, it sounds like he might have just been using this as a way to manipulate you or to, you know, somehow exact some kind of revenge against Mike for visiting you.
And actually,
trying to ruin Mike's nice trip to visit you.
Well, actually, I don't want to personalize this, but I think it was more directed at harming her than me. He threatened me, but I think he was trying to make her life miserable, not mine.
Yeah, that might be true. Yeah, again, like, I don't know the specifics, but it seems like more of a sort of a childish way to sort of,
right.
You know,
all right, well, we
assert
did
his dominion over the property and when, you know, maybe it wasn't really about that.
What do you think, Bridget?
You know, I'm not entirely sure. I'm sure that did have something, you know, to do with it. Part of it was, you know, he didn't ever, well, I said that I wouldn't ever bring my lovers to the house.
Mm-hmm.
He took it as that was something that was always going to be that way or always going to happen. And I didn't say that. I just said I never did bring them, not necessarily that I wouldn't bring them.
When did you say this? When you were still married?
No. This was like after the divorce when I was seeing other people.
And what you told him was that you never had brought your lovers to the house or that you never would?
Yeah, and I wasn't planning on bringing them to the house because I didn't, you know, I didn't want to. It was easier for me to just go see them in their house, their space, keep my children separate, this kind of thing. But, you know, it was a little bit different. I know. I don't even know what I'm saying.
No, you
are. Oh, no. I was just laughing because I burped.
Okay, I'm just saying, okay, you're laughing at this because this is just all just utterly.
No
way. It was my own idiocy that was making me laugh.
So you mentioned your children, and if you're comfortable talking about that, we could talk about that too, because they're not property, but they're certainly joint. Do you want to skip that?
That was the other issue, is he made requests that the children not have any contact with Mike, which I found really rather silly because they knew Mike before I knew Mike.
Yeah, I met them
and
through Lou, essentially.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, and it was okay.
I will edit that out.
I guess we have to do some editing. Through bleep.
Yeah.
And that it was okay, you know, when they knew Mike through Lou, but when Mike decided to be friends with me or come here and visit, then it stopped being okay. And I didn't understand why it was okay that way, but not okay this way. And I felt like, you know, I have the right to introduce my children to people when they're in my custody or my care.
Right.
And when they stay with Lou, well, that they're able to do, you know, like, he's able to decide that for them. And but the big issue for me was, why was it okay then and it stopped being okay now?
And this, right. This was
because he's making an effort to exert some kind of power over your life or their lives, and I don't think it's legitimate.
That's what it looks like to me. We're inferring, though.
Right. I think your children are old enough to decide who they want to associate with for the most part. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and I think so. And I think so too. But they still try to respect their father's wishes because he's asked not to talk to Mike, and they try not to talk to him to avoid that kind of conflict.
Yeah, they're put in a real tight spot.
Right, that just puts them in a weird position.
Yeah, not just because they're children, but because they like me, and they like their dad, and their dad doesn't want them to like me. So what do they do?
Yeah,
so what do they do?
Yeah. But this was also a conflict for me, because I see that even though you're divorced and he's moved away and whatever, he's still their father and should have a say. If he wants to, he should have, you know, control over their lives and raising them in such decisions. But at the same time, by legal and physical custodialship, which I don't so much care about legal, and by your and his voluntary agreement, you are raising these three children, not him. And so what you say should be how they're raised, in my opinion. So I respect his right to say, well, I don't want my kids seeing this person. But it didn't seem to fit anymore because he agreed to relinquish that control to you.
And I did tell him, I said, you know, when they are staying with you in the summer, I said, you know, you can decide, you know, who they see and who they don't see.
Right. So.
And I gave them a lot of freedom in that respect. I mean, there have been some issues that kind of bothered me that came up, but, you know, they were still with him, and there you go. And I just, you know, mentioned some things, but, you know, they were still with him, and so they still did kind of what he wanted.
Yeah, it's a very tough situation because, you know, they're not babies. They're independent thinkers, right. And if they want to have friends, you know, obviously I'm, 30 years older than them or whatever, and I'm not their friend. I wouldn't go out and, you know, hang out with them. However, if they want to take any of their mom's other friends and befriend them and like them, they should be allowed to make that decision for themselves.
Right.
And yet when they're hanging.
They do like you. And they liked you, you know, before I even knew you. And that's been part of the issue was, you know, they liked you and it was okay then and now it's not okay. And so they're having problems with that.
Yeah. And when they spend time with their father and he doesn't want them to see me, they might be conflicted. Maybe they'll say, well, you know what? There's a party going on and Mike will be there and we wanted to be there. And he'll say, no, you can't go. And they'll have to deal with that.
Right.
They will. So.
Wow. This got real personal.
Yes, it did get real personal.
I know, but this got way too off on topic. But okay. Here, I will make things a little bit more general.
Okay.
When, you know, some of the things, you know, we always had some communication problem this way. I didn't have problems when he wanted to have other relationships, but I just didn't ever want them brought to my house while I was here. And this was, you know.
Is this when you were married?
What?
Is this when you were married?
Yes.
Okay.
This is when I was married. You know, and this, so I'm like saying, you know, this is kind of an important topic to me because, you know, I just didn't want them here. Like, I considered my house, my space, and I just didn't want to see it. Like, I didn't want it in front of me, but, like, it was okay if he had other relationships elsewhere.
Uh-huh.
But okay. Not in a way that he wanted to bring them more here just because he had different ideas about this. So we never kind of agreed.
All right.
Yeah.
On these kind of terms. You know, where I've had other friends, you've had other relationships, and the physical house space isn't as important as, like, say, like the bedroom is. Like, you know,
right.
They
I think that's
want,
common.
Yeah. I think some
bed.
Form of that
no,
is common.
I don't want them in our bed, but, you know, maybe you can, like, be in the guest room or the living room or,
right.
You know,
somewhere.
Oh,
yeah.
Like, I want to be home. So, you know, there's a lot of different things you can do with, like, space.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There, I will be more general.
Yeah. No, but I think that's really common because that's a boundary that a lot of people have. It's like if a person who is not part of your relationship with someone else crosses into a physical space that you consider sacred or, you know, intimately associated with you, you might feel neglected. It's like, if I can't be the only one who shares this bedroom with my partner, then I don't feel special.
As important, right.
Right. So I think that's common. Or even a house, you know, maybe you don't want strangers or people that you don't know,
sharing your house with
in them. Your house. Yeah. Or maybe you do. They're not strangers. Maybe you've met them and maybe you feel comfortable with that. So I don't know. It's something everybody has to work out if they're in a relationship.
And it's
like
contextual.
That.
Like I was friends with her ex-husband before I met her.
Right.
And then for some reason he's not my friend anymore.
Right. Well, yeah. Yep.
All right. Well, let's try one more. One
I was
going
to say, this has like been 30 minutes. This is way too long.
Nah, not yet.
It's
only been 21 minutes, and I want to tackle it from one more angle, and that's just like forget our personal example entirely and just say let's try a poly relationship.
Okay.
Let's say there's 3 or 4 people or whatever that have agreed to like each other or love each other and, you know, be committed in a group relationship of sorts or some kind of V or some kind of
triad, some kind of
arrangement that's all voluntary. How do they handle group property? Like, let's say they all happen to live in the same house. Who owns the couch?
Isn't that like a commune?
It could be.
I mean,
or
no. I mean, I know people who basically live in communal situations where the property rights, they're not romantically involved in any way. They're not sexually involved. They're just roommates, but the property is sort of shared in that way. For instance, I had a situation like that where I had a tenant, and he lived in my house, and I told him that the agreement was when he moved in, he could, for the time he was living here, he could use all of my kitchen utensils, all my cooking stuff, and dishes, glasses, things like that, we could share them. And he brought a couple of his own dishes and glasses that he also shared with me, but by far mine were the most. But that was included in his rent, you know, that was part of the deal.
Okay.
And the way it worked out was that, he ruined one of my pans, but I think that was sort of just a miscommunication. I didn't tell him that he couldn't turn the heat up that high. And, but generally it worked out okay.
Okay.
And there were at the time, there were three people living in the house, a tenant and my partner and myself. And we all shared all these utensils. And, I guess we worked it out by, actually, a couple of issues did come up because I was pretty much always the one to load and empty the dishwasher, and I resented that a little bit. This is really stupid.
This episode is like pixelated with very specific examples.
Yes, very specific.
Actually, there was a leaf of lettuce on one of the forks once.
A leaflet. Indeed.
Okay, so.
Well, the way we resolved the dishwasher situation was that occasionally I would say, hey guys, do you think you could empty the dishwasher? Because I haven't done it, you know, I've done it like the last 5 times in a row. And oh, by the way, since I'm always the one to empty the dishwasher, you guys can take out the trash. And they generally did that, and that was cool.
Did you guys have some kind of arrangement before, or did the arrangement come out of the...
The arrangement kind of popped up. We did not anticipate it.
So that's kind of no offense, but it's kind of an ugly way to come to a good solution.
It definitely is. So the arrangement about sharing the kitchen utensils, that was arrived at before the moving in, but... who did the chores wasn't, exactly.
So
should have communicated better.
Yeah,
about that.
It basically comes down to communication. Like, mm-hmm. you cannot foresee every eventuality.
No,
but
you
can say, well, if we ever, you know, we're loving. If we ever break up, what do we want to do? Or
if we ever break up, who gets the cat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can communicate
about... Well, like, you know, in relationship to your tenant, like, your tenant moved in to use your things, knowing that they were your things. Mm-hmm. So when your tenant moved, he did not take your dishes with him when he left, hopefully.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, I don't think he took any, but he certainly took a lot of them up to his room and hoarded them there until he moved out.
Oh, man.
Well, that was sort of a separate issue, but yeah, that's right. It was pre-agreed upon, and I think that was good.
I think that's really important. And when you don't agree and there's a conflict, you need to communicate about it, and we certainly didn't touch on that kind of communication in any detail on this episode.
Hmm.
I mean, you know, to generalize again, what did we talk about this episode? There are issues that can come up, and what? You need to communicate to resolve them?
That's pretty much what we say on every episode.
If they can't be resolved, even with communication, if the two parties don't want to communicate, which was going to be like another episode, like, well, communication is important, but what do you do when the other person isn't communicating?
That should be another episode, because communication is a two-way street, and if it needs to happen to be healthy and one person doesn't make it happen, what do you do?
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
We should do an episode on that. But
yes, we will. We don't have time to do it right now, because we're at 25 minutes, and nobody
you guys
wants
are,
to hear us.
You guys are all getting bored of us. And you guys all. You mean the two people still listening.
Like, never edit, but this episode will be edited, and names will be bleeped out, and everybody will still be.
This episode is a groundbreaker, because we're going to have to edit and bleep out a name. But other than that...
Oh, my goodness. Yes, other than that, I think it was a success, right?
Yeah.
It was good.
You don't think so?
I don't know.
Yeah, you do. It was good.
There were issues. We survived them.
Yes.
I'm just saying, there are lots of things that you need to take into consideration if you're going to have a poly relationship or a monogamous relationship relating to property. I mean, what if you're in a monogamous relationship and your husband, like, hates all of your girlfriends and doesn't want them in his house?
That's a good point. It's half your house, too. And then if you just demand to allow them in because they're your friends, then he'll be miserable. So you got to communicate and reach some kind of agreement.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to have my girlfriends over this night. You can go hang out with your friends at one of their houses.
Right. And, you know.
Because it's my house, too. And
exactly.
I should, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, because you have to think, if both people have rights, you know, if I would have said, okay, I won't have you over, then isn't that infringing my rights because I'm living here?
Yeah, it kind of seems like it's not really so much a property rights issue as a communication issue. I mean, you guys have agreed to share the property, to, quote, communally own it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? No.
I guess you have to a certain extent, but you haven't agreed that, okay, well, if, you know, I'm going to compromise with this person, even though I own half of the property, right?
Okay, with your tenant, if there were people that your tenant were friends with that you didn't like or you didn't want in your house, would you still be able to tell him no just because he was your tenant? Or would you just say, oh, you can have them in your bedroom because this is what you're paying for?
Mm-hmm. I mean, we actually did talk about that before he moved in too, because I knew him and I knew that he would probably want to have women over. What we agreed upon was that he could not have parties at the house and invite, you know, more than two people over at once. And that was, I guess, what we defined as a party.
You defined it. At least you said.
Yeah, and you planned ahead as much as you could.
And really, like, it wasn't so much that I had a problem with people being over. It was that there was a parking issue and that the parking spaces were really limited. So so it was difficult to have a lot of people over to the house. And in terms of having dates over, which he did quite frequently, I was okay with that as long as they weren't spending more than about one night a week at the house. Because then it's like almost like they're living there, you know.
And they pay, right.
Right. And they're also, you know, taking up a parking space and they're taking up water and whatever else, food, I don't know. That's another thing, food. Do you know anyone who lives in a communal situation or sort of like lives with roommates and they share the food? Because that just seems like a disaster waiting to happen. Because one person's going to eat all the food, right?
Yeah, but I mean, it's this exact same issue because food is property.
Yes.
And instead of food, you could say, is one person going to decide which TV shows are watched at 8 p.m. on primetime night? Or are they all going to share it? I mean, with every piece of property, it's the same thing.
Right.
Is one person going to control it? Are they going to take turns? I guess it's just whatever they decide on. And if they don't decide on something, a conflict will occur and maybe they can resolve it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Bridget?
I
love that laugh.
Listening and watching and thinking, oh, this is cool, because now it's gone off into more like general tangents.
Yes,
and you can, like,
right.
It only took us 30 minutes to get to generalize, and now we're out of time.
Exactly.
The situation with the roommate, like with the food, was that we had certain shelves in the refrigerator where the tenant could keep his food, and those were reserved for him, and anything on those shelves was his, and anything on Jeff and I had shared shelves. And so the shelf that belonged to Jeff and I, that food was ours. Now, Jeff and I did not have a problem with sharing our food together because we have vastly different eating tastes, and we usually don't eat the same foods. And so it was like whatever Jeff had.
You didn't want anyone.
I didn't want to eat. And whatever I had, he didn't want to eat. So so we never had a problem with each other eating each other's food, per se, I guess. Although when my tenant moved out, he, this is a kind of a separate issue, I guess. My tenant moved out and he left a bunch of moldy tomatoes and moldy cheese in the refrigerator.
He was sharing his property with you.
He was sharing his property with me that I did not want it at all. And I mean, I really think it was just an oversight on his part because he was, you know, busy and he was just moving out and stuff. But that was not okay with me. And I told him, I sort of jokingly said to him, hey, why don't you come back and go get your moldy mozzarella from 1993 that you left in my fridge? But but it wasn't that big of a deal to me. But, you know, if he had continued to do that and if he'd always left rotting food in the fridge, there might have been a problem. But,
might.
Yeah, there would have been a problem. Let's put it that way. Oh, all right. Is this episode moldering
I think
over
this,
30 minutes?
This episode is turning to mold. This has got to be our most specific episode ever.
Yes, I think so.
Won't ever air, but at least it was interesting.
Yes, it was.
Thanks for guest hosting with us, Bridget.
Thanks, Bridget. We're glad you were here, and we'll talk to you soon and see you soon, I hope.
And thanks, everyone, for listening to for surviving another episode of Pork Therapy.
Yes, you made it if you're still here. We don't know why you did it, but you hung in there.
Or why you did it.
Yes, or why you did it. You continue to damage your ears by listening to
actually,
our podcast.
If you want to tell us why you kept listening through the entire 32 minutes, send us an email.
Please communicate.
Question at porktherapy.com.
Is it questions or question? Fuck.
Oh, shit. Send it to both, and one of them
questions.
Will get through. Questions. Send it to questions.
Or you can just send it to mike@porktherapy.com.
Or stephanie@porktherapy.com.
Yes, that's right.
And you can visit our website.
You can tell us how much we suck. You can go to Facebook.
You can out...
I thought you were going to say that. I thought you were going to
No, that's the point. That's the point. We have to say that at least once episode, how badly we suck at podcasting.
Yes, it's become like a compliment at this point.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Yes, thank you, Bridget, for guest hosting, and we'll see you soon, and thank you for listening, and we've said this at least 3 times so far, so we're going to go. Bye.